Amen. I have four opening scriptures to bring to you today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. Our ushers are going to give you a handout. Amen. There's some of us that, some of our folks like handouts. I don't often do that, but every once in a while. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1 is the first place I'd like to point your attention to. It says this: Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's encouraging to me. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Amen. I want to talk on this teaching tonight. Committed to the past, present, and future. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. Lord, we ask even now, Lord, that your will would be accomplished in us. Lord, that as we look at these scriptures, as we consider this topic, as we go through this Bible study tonight, Lord, I pray that your anointing, God, would be upon me to put words in my mouth, to open our understanding. Lord, help us, God, to serve you. Let your will, God, be done. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just in, I guess, introduction words, the purpose tonight of this teaching that I hope to convey to you, the purpose is to remember our glorious heritage. Amen. We do have a glorious heritage. Amen. We are not the initiators of this great faith. There has been many that have had and held and worked and lived for this faith that we have. Amen. Another purpose is to evaluate our present situation, where we are right now, including our doctrine, our teaching. And a purpose is to project our plans for the future, our commitment in living for God. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, it starts out with these words, I am debtor. It goes on, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You see, I am a debtor. I believe you are also. I can't claim to have originated anything that comes from this pulpit. It's all in Jesus Christ. It's all of the Word of God. When you look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, the definition of debt, something owed to another. I believe we all are debtors. I believe we owe a debt. We owe a debt to the past. We owe a debt to the present, right now. And we owe a debt to the future. And I'm going to talk about these areas. First, what do we owe to the past? Well, how can we owe something to the past? Well, we have a debt to the past for our rich heritage, our legacy, the sacrificial proclamation of truth, the blessings that have been handed to us, handed to our families, to the world. You see, I don't think I'm the only one, but I am not first generation Pentecostal. My mom was baptized in Jesus' name and attended the United Pentecostal Church in my hometown. Her mom was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then my children are all baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And now my grandchildren are coming up in the truth of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of them already baptized in Jesus' name. Some even filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, it's a heritage. It humbles me to think that there are four generations, at least, and maybe more. I don't know about the generations before that. On my wife's side, her great aunt, somebody went to the church in Ashland. I forget what her name was. But they had a family book written, a heritage book, and it told about the families. And in her testimony, it said that we are praying. And it was talking about this foundation family in the United Pentecostal Church in Ashland, Wisconsin. It was talking about, we are praying for those that are yet to come to know the name of Jesus. So even on Jeanette's side of the family, before she ever met me, she had apostolic one God Jesus name people in her family praying for her to find the name of Jesus. I tell you, this is not a coincidence. This is not just by chance. No, I tell you, we have been led to this place by God. We have been brought here a mighty long way. Amen. And if you are a first generation Pentecostal, if you are the first one in your family, then what a great privilege it is to be the beginning of the heritage of the house of God in your family. Amen. I can't claim that privilege. But I want to be a torchbearer. I want to be a carrier of the truth. Amen. You see, we are heirs. In your handout, I forgot to mention it. The first three blanks were, we owe a debt to the past, we owe a debt to the present, we owe a debt to the future. That was the first three blanks. The next one, we are heirs. We have inherited this great truth. Amen. This church, and I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. Churches that were established before we ever came. Intercessory prayers that were prayed before we arrived. Unbelievable sacrifices that were made by those that went on before us. The toil, the sufferings, the effort, the life's work of many have gone before us. Amen. To them we owe a debt. Thank you for praying. Thank you for sustaining the truth. Thank you for being faithful. You see, we have nothing. That's the fill in the blank. We have nothing we have not received. Amen. I don't claim to be the originator of anything. Everything is given to us by God. Everything is a blessing by the hand of God. Amen. We have received great blessings by God. You see, the heritage of the past is the seed that brings forth the harvest of the future. Amen. The United Pentecostal Church just recently, not too many years ago, had its 100th anniversary. So it's been around a couple of generations, but that's not a long time. But I'm not referring to only the United Pentecostal Church, although that is now a part of my heritage. Amen. I'm thankful to have that heritage. Amen. I'm thankful for the United Pentecostal Church, but more than that, I'm thankful for this message of who Jesus is. Amen. Of the blessings of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, of knowing and seeking and finding who God is. Amen. The heritage of the past is the seed that brings forth the harvest of the future. That is an inscription at the National Archives. Amen. We need to remember our past. There has been many that have gone on before us that have prepared the way for where we are today. Amen. Every generation stands in the gap, connecting the past with the future. Amen. Past and future are the two words that go in your blank and your sheet. You see, in a relay race, the second man on a relay team, he's receiving the baton from the first man. He's to carry that baton on in the race. The third man on a relay team owes the first two men his best in that relay race. The fourth man owes the first three men his best in that relay race. I believe that there is a great future in this church. Amen. In the United Pentecostal Church, in the Connecticut District of the United Pentecostal Church, in the United Pentecostal Church International. Just recently came back from the General Convention. You know, it was inspiring to be there for the North American missions. It was inspiring to be there for the global missions. It was inspiring to be led of the Lord, to be a part of something that is much larger than ourselves. Amen. And I can see God doing it in our local assembly. I can see God doing it in our district. I can see God doing it in our North American, in our nation. And I can see God doing it in our world. It is something much larger than just our own selves. We are a part of something that has an heritage. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, the first part of that is on your sheet. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Look at that. The earth is not flat. And we didn't swim, we didn't crawl out of a mud puddle. God spoke, and it was. God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. We have a mighty God who created all things. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. You know what? There have been false accusations against God for a long time. They're still wrong. Amen. We do have an almighty God. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 2, again, the first part is there in your notes, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There's a lot of things in our world that might shake the foundations of our society. Seemingly, COVID shook the whole world. There's going to be other society-shaking problems. But don't be troubled by that. Jesus is coming. Amen. Jesus has it all in control. Amen. I don't know what the world's going to do, but I know God has control over the church. Amen. That God is going to help us. God is going to see us through. Amen. God has everything in hand. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But thou, or though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." I tell you what, this gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving grace in His name is the only way to be saved. Amen. We don't need to make anything up. It's all right there in the Word. Just preach the Word. Just believe the truth. Amen. You know, our world is messed up. I didn't even click the little clicker bait that came on my smartphone. But the headline said the Pope is now saying that some homosexual marriages are blessed. No, they're not. It's crazy. You know what? As the world and even religion becomes darker, the light of Jesus Christ will shine brighter. Amen. The truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God will survive. Amen. It will prevail. Amen. I just had to shake my head. That thing, I thought, that thing is not even worth reading. It's so, that is messed up. You know what? It doesn't matter if it's popular in the world. It doesn't matter if we're persecuted for it. It's still the Word of God. We still need to stand on truth. You see, there are paying our debt to the past. How do we pay the debt to those that have went on before us? How can we pay the debt to the past? By ministering to the Lord every day. That Lord is the missing word in your blank. ministering to one another. That's the second blank. And ministering to this lost world. That's the third blank, lost world. We got to carry the torch, my friend. We got to keep the faith. We got to keep believing this truth. We owe a debt to the past that we would continue. I want to be so very careful because God has given me the privilege to be able to preach the gospel to a people. I want to be so very, very careful that I preach what is in the Word of God. That I preach who Jesus is. Amen. That I preach that we need to live a holy life. Amen. And what do we owe to the present? To right now? The past has been wonderful. What the disciples did. What the New Testament church did. What the limited heritage that I know of. The last hundred and a few years of the United Pentecostal Church, the four generations in my family and the several generations in Jeanette's. Thank you, Lord, for the past that I'm aware of. Thank you, Lord, that there are people that love you. Thank you, Lord, that they brought us to this place. But what do we owe to the present? You know, it was a part of my heritage that when I was a kid being raised up in church, that I was brought to service every week, all the time, every revival service, we were there. We were there on rainy days and snowy days, and we did not have a car. We walked to church most of the time. There's a few times somebody came and picked us up. Thank God for those times. Whew, all right, we got a ride today. You know what? If we didn't have a ride, we walked. And we were, I don't know, maybe 3/4 of a mile. You know, it wasn't real far. Maybe it might have been close to 1 mile, but not any farther than that. But if you got to push the wheelchair over the snowbank, that's a problem. My mom was in a wheelchair, and I was the motorization of the wheelchair. Praise the Lord. So, don't complain about getting to church. Amen. Get there. You are creating a part of the heritage. You're creating your story. Praise the Lord. But what about, well, I remember those revivals. I thought, man, this is such great preaching. This is, you know, such great moves of God. You know, it'll never be like this. You know what? It is like that. In my generation. It wasn't just in my mother's generation. It wasn't just in my grandmother's generation. Amen. But right now, I thought about putting in here, we have the challenge. But no, it needs to be I. You. Each of us. Every one of us. Needs to say, I have the challenge of producing a new generation of true disciples. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just up to the evangelist. It's up to each and every one of us to make disciples. People who will follow Jesus Christ because of who He is. Amen. At the top of page 3, it says Shakers. It was a religious cult that flourished in the early 19th century in America. They called them Shakers. It was a large community. They had fervent worship, zealous commitment. They were exerting significant impact in their society. But they practiced celibacy. And therefore, there was no second generation. I am thrilled that there are young people in our church. Amen. I'm thrilled that there are teenagers that love God. I'm thrilled that there are Sunday school kids that are learning about Jesus Christ and learning how to give in our missions march, learning about the things of God. It's thrilling to me because we need them right now in the church. It's not the church of tomorrow. It's the church of right now. Today. You see, if we have no spiritual children, there's no future. That's the blank in your sheet there. No future. No successors. No new generation of true disciples. Disciples is the missing word in your blank. We need to have, every generation needs to have a future. Every generation needs to have new disciples. This has happened to practically every great church or religious organization in the history of the world. Every generation deserves to witness what we've seen. You know, as a kid, I saw what went on in my local United Pentecostal Church, in our local camp meetings, in our local district events. And you know, we went to those church services and district meetings. And it was absolutely awe-inspiring to me as a child. To the point that when I did get stupid, when I went out in the world, when I backslid as a young adult or as a later teen and early adult, it never left me. It was always in the back of my mind about who Jesus was, about the calling of God. You see, religion to me wasn't something that was fake. Religion wasn't something to me that was foreign. To me, religion or the moving of God was something that was powerful and it was comforting and it was reassuring and it was very, very good. Now our world was coming against religion, and the worldliness that I was in was against the things of God. I couldn't shake it. It was something that was put within me that was calling me back unto God. I tell you what, I never want it to leave me. I never want the presence of God to leave me. I always want to know and feel the presence and the pulling of God in my life. Every generation needs to have that calling. Every generation deserves to witness what we've seen. You know, I've seen wonderful works of God. I've seen many, I would even say hundreds of miracles. People that over the years, as a kid, as a teenager, well, there was some years I was backslid as a teenager, but as a kid, as a young person, as a young adult, when I came back into church, it was to be expected. people are going to get prayed for and God is going to touch them. God is going to perform miracles. He will do signs and wonders. God's still in the miracle working business. But every generation, I'll say, even every person, I'll narrow it down right to each individual. Every individual needs to feel and see the wonderful works of God. Amen. We all need to understand what Pentecostal revival and evangelism is. It's a part of our walk with God. Moses' generation, they saw the pillar of cloud over the tabernacle. The pillar of fire that stood there by night. They saw the Red Sea parted as a miracle at the hand of God. They saw many great works of God. They saw awesome things. Joshua, his generation, had not seen those things. The generation that came after the wilderness, the generation that was to go into the promised land, they didn't see the Red Sea. They didn't see the things that Moses' generation had saw. You know what? So God did the same thing for Joshua that He had done for Moses. His generation passed through the Jordan River at flood stage. On dry ground. As that, you know, as I look in those scriptures, as the priest's foot. If you're the priest and you're carrying that holy tabernacle, you're carrying the Ark of the Covenant on the stakes as they're supposed to, and we're marching into the promise. Here's the river. All right, start marching. Here we go. As their foot. The water parted and it landed on dry ground. Think about that. You know, it took them obeying God to put their foot over the water that when they came down thinking, my foot's going to get, here we go, we're going in. No, they didn't. They didn't go in the water. The water was pushed aside. You know, in your life, in my life, there's times I've had to put my foot out over the water. Okay, God, I'm going to do what You called me to do. I'm going to do, Lord, what You are leading me in right now. I'm going to take this step by faith. Write the check. Pray the prayer. Do the thing. Go to the place. Say the word. Whatever it is. What God is calling you to do, you need to do it. Amen. Amen. Because that is how miracles are going to come. Andre, Sister Greeley, Brother Dyke, Brother Fred, he's getting his license. These preachers, man, just put your foot right out over the river, man. Just put your foot right out. The water might be flowing. It might be flood stage. It might be overflowing. But you just put your foot right out over the water and just let yourself go. Do what God said to do. Amen. Lay your hand on him in the name of Jesus. Pray the prayer of faith. And it's not just the preachers. It's the believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then take that step of faith. Because God wants to show you a miracle. Every generation needs to have the miracle happen in your life. God's brought me through a lot of miracles. God has seen me through many financial problems. He's helped my family many times. He's blessed my home abundantly. He's healed my body. I've seen physical miracles. God is able. Every generation must have its own, the three blanks there, signs, wonders, miracles. Every generation. Signs, wonders, miracles in your life. Amen. God wants to show you signs. God wants to show you wonders. God wants to provide miracles in your life. Every generation needs it. It's not just those of the past. It's of the present. It is our debt, our solemn responsibility to disciple. That first blank there is disciple. We need to teach people how to live for God. You see, we just started it this year, and there are many. We're now in our third session of Elements. But it's a part of teaching our people about what it says in the Word of God. Showing them together, looking at the things of what God wants us to know. The second blank is equip. It is our debt, our solemn responsibility to disciple and to equip the saints of God. You need to hear the preaching of the truth of Jesus Christ. You need to understand the teaching about who He is. Number three is we need to qualify leaders. And number four, we need to perpetuate revival. Amen. I can just imagine. If the people, revival is those that know who God is being revived in Jesus Christ. There are literally hundreds, many hundreds of people that have had an experience with God in this church. Amen. And not also in the United Pentecostal Church. Also in just by God touching them. Maybe not in our church. But there's a lot of people out there that have had a genuine experience with God. And they need to be revived. Amen. While the harvest field is worldwide, our battleground is our city. It's our area right here where we labor. Jesus dealt individually with churches in the book of Revelation. Israel conquered the promised land city by city. The disciples were sent specifically to cities Jesus would soon visit. You see, we as disciples, we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are keys to the city. God wants to use us to reach our location, to reach this city. See, what does Jesus see when He looks towards our city? when he looks towards New London County. There is a lot of carnality and there's a lot of division in this area. In fact, all areas that I'm aware of on earth have that same problem. But here in this local assembly, does he see haphazard services? I hope not. I believe there is. I'm very specific and I'm very careful about who I allow to come speak from this pulpit. I want to know that they are full of the Holy Ghost, that they are going to say something of Jesus the Christ that is in line with Scriptures. Amen. That is in line with the Word of God. We need to have a concerted effort of prayer. Yes. We'll not do anything without God. Amen. And prayer is our communication with God. Amen. We must pray. Outreach, evangelism, we're coming to that. It's right here around the corner. We have our All Nations Week coming. We are going to have a time of outreach on the Saturday before. I hope you'll join us. We are going to have cards to invite people to church. We are going to try to get people in the house of God that they might be evangelized, that they might hear the Word of God. See, there are people that in our local area have never seen anybody like Brother Felix Crowder. But you know what? I have full confidence that he will be prepared to say the Word of God. And that he will speak about Jesus Christ. Amen. But there will be no evangelism without revival. We ourselves have to be revived. We have to be inspired by God, lifted up and brought back to new spiritual life. True revival doesn't just happen. It's not a coincidence. It doesn't happen here and there by chance. It is, and there's a list of things here. It is the product of a spiritual, the blanks there are contrition and confession. Contrition, confession. It is the product of a spirit of unity. The second line is unity. Third line, it is a product of a spirit of longing, hungering, and thirsting for God. Longing, hungering, thirsting for God. It is a product of a spirit of response and commitment. You know, when the preaching of the Word of God comes forth, way too often, people will think, well, that's for somebody else. Oh, the preacher's talking to somebody else. No, the Spirit is talking to the church. We must respond. We must have commitment. It is a product, the next blank is a product of compassion. A product of a spirit of travail and agony of prayer. Prayer is not just, no, I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul, the Lord, to keep. It's more than that. Do you really want to see your family saved? Do you really want to see your loved ones in the house of God? Do you really care about your neighbor being saved? Do you really want your coworker to find God? Travail, agonizing prayer. The last blank there, corporate prayer. Our times of prayer together is a prerequisite. We must pray. Prayer is important. Paying our debt to the present, to this generation. We owe it to the people that are here in this church right now. By perpetuating revival and evangelism. Those are the two blanks, revival and evangelism. The next one, by discipling and developing leaders. We need to be discipled. We need to be developed. Paying our debt to the present, to this generation, by a legacy of revival. That's the last blank in that area. Revival, soul winning, and victorious church. We need to have good church. Praise the Lord. And what do we owe to the future? Yes, while we are a product of the past, we are the prophecy of the future. You know, the church that is referred to at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Raise your hand. That's me. I'm looking to be resurrected. Or I'm looking to be caught away. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to picture in my mind what that moment will be like. Seeing the dead in Christ rise up first, knowing any second, any moment, it's my turn I'm going up to. Because I'm going to see them, you know, we're going to see the dead rise in Christ first. Then we who are alive and yet remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I'm trying to comprehend what that's going to be like. Oh, man. That's what it says in Scripture. Have you read that? Have you contemplated? Have you thought about that? I have. Amen. We are the product of the past. We are the prophecy of the future. While those are the two blanks, past and future. The next line, while we are writing our own history. We are writing the history of this church right now. Right now, in the history of this church has a history of growth, of growing. Amen. We are making the history of this church right now, in the present, today, and it will go on into the future. We are determining the character of this generation to come. We are teaching our young people who Jesus is. We are teaching our young people to pray. We are teaching people to love God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. We didn't make this up, but we're a part of it now. Amen. Jesus gave it to his disciples. Elijah taught Elisha. David brought Solomon. Paul brought Timothy. We need to bring those that are coming up behind us, these new families. You know, I've had evangelists ask me many times, what is it, Pastor, you want from this revival? One more family. It doesn't matter if this house was full. God, give us one more family. Lord, give us one more family. Hallelujah. You see, we got to make it better for them to succeed us. Brother Dyke, I'm doing the best I can. The best I know how. I'm preaching with everything that is within me. Everything that I know. Everything that I can find in the Word of God. Every secret that I can find in the Word. Every piece of the Holy Ghost that is within me. I want to give it to the church. I want to preach it to the people. I want to give it to the kingdom of God. Everything that I am, let it be spent in Jesus. We can make it better for those that are coming behind us. You know, my life was better for having a mom that prayed for me. My children's life was better because of me being a Christian dad. And you know what? My grandchildren will have it better because of the heritage that was before them. Giving them a good lead, the proper standing, teaching them about who God is, by removing out of the way some of the difficulties and the dangers. But making it hard. That next line, one was better, the next one is hard. It might be hard for them to succeed us. By living so well that it shall take the most strenuous effort to surpass us. I tell you what, man, I want to give it everything I got. Everything that I am. All that I have. Everything I want to give to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then those, you know what, I truly believe this. Those that come behind will surpass us. Hallelujah. God will bring the church to greater heights. Amen. Greater things in God. Amen. It might be hard, but you can do it. Yes. This church will succeed. Amen. The church will have revival. They're going to do more than I could do. More than I've ever thought of. More than I was capable of. But that's okay. Paying our debt to the future. Maybe it's with my age. But I've been thinking about it a lot. With a commitment to develop leaders that will succeed us. I'm a realist. I know that I'm not going to be here forever. But you know what? God will be.
Yes, he will.
The church will be.
Yes,
Amen. Handing our children, our successors, apostolic doctrine. Pentecostal heritage. Handing. They need to know what revival is. An example of total commitment. Amen. Would you stand with me? Committed to the past, to the present, and to the future. Amen. It's wonderful to live for God. Would you worship Him with me? Lord, I love You, Jesus. Thank You for the wonderful things, God, that have brought